Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week we do take a close look at one of the appearances that she has made somewhere in the world, somewhere over the last 2,000 years, and she's been busy. They've got documented at least 2,600 appearances. Those are just the ones they have documented, and that's 2,600 in a little less than 2,000 years. So that's pretty busy. And the countries are from all over the world. It could be an island in the South Pacific. It could be Russia. It could be China. It could be Vietnam. It could be India. It could be Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Syria, anywhere, not just France, Italy, and Spain. No, she's been everywhere, even Australia and all through South America, and, of course, the United States. So her appearances are all over the place. Now, what do we make of this? How is that possible? Well, if it's real, it's no surprise, and there's no mystery to it. But if you don't think it's real, then you're going to have a hard time trying to prove it's not, because everyone's been working on that for a couple centuries. And they still, scientists and professionals and psychiatrists and all these professionals involved, still can't even come close to finding any kind of other explanation other than it is a supernatural visit and it's very real. Now, I work as a psychiatric therapist, and I've seen everything you can imagine and dealt with everything you can ever think of. This was new, and of course I naturally wanted to see what this experience people were having was all about. Well, I soon learned, not only from my own examination and research, but from all that of all the other professionals, that we all have the same conclusion. It is real. It is supernatural, and it's amazing. And as we tell these different stories every week, you will see the patterns. You will see the incredible detail and the similarities from appearance to appearance. But most important are the messages, the reasons why she appears, where she appears, and when she appears in certain places around the world. So we take a good look at that, and we look at what we can learn from it, what we can gain from it, what we can understand. There's all these appearances from heaven for us of what we need to be doing in our lives, getting back to church, getting back to Mass, confession, the Eucharist, penance, just all sorts of important aspects of our spiritual life that we may be neglecting or not even interested in doing. And this is a reminder from heaven that all these things are very real and very important to do. So tonight we'll be going to the Philippines again. We've been there 5 or 6 times, and this is another one. And I'll just say up front that this one is not officially approved by the church yet, but we'll talk about that later on. It's not so much the events and the elements of the apparitions as much as just the character of the visionary, which we'll discuss that later. The main thing is we want to present the details so you can see how it compares to all the other approved apparitions and the miraculous nature, supernatural nature that you will hear and experience in going through the story. And then we'll talk about the church's investigations and how it's still open and going, and kind of where all that's at. As we always do, we bring you the truth, the deeper truth, and always the best knowledge that we can. There's no reason to talk about phony apparitions or ones that don't have much credibility. We have plenty to talk about with the ones that are good. So bringing on my co-host tonight, Mr. Donald Hartley, the founder and the core of Deeper Truth International, as I like to call it. Good evening, Donald.
Hey, good evening there, John, and our panel and all our listeners out there tonight. And, you know, since the death of Christ and the apostolic age, that is believed to begin the last days. And it's interesting that when you go to Acts chapter 2, it says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and on my maid servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath. I think that's very important there, and that's exactly what we're talking about. And these things are happening to counteract what Jesus warned about in Luke, that if they were treating our Lord when the wood is green, what would happen when the wood is dry? So we have to stay alive, you know, and so that's what, what we're, our objective here is, that deeper truth.
Very good.
Amen.
Very good. Yeah.
We have Mike from New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
Doing fantastic. And by the way, we have an update. We have a mountain update for you. And let's go with our mountain update theme. They say don't go. Well, you can say goodbye to Yellowstone. It was announced Thursday that Yellowstone's Mountain Land is to be renamed Burke's Peak Mountain. The National Park Service said the action was taken to remove an offensive name from America's first national park. The vote, by the way, was unanimous. Nobody told him who it was or what he did.
Her tender lips are sweeter than honey, and over to the mountains protects her there.
And we got Doc from Tennessee. How you doing there, Doc? Doc, you there?
Hey, there I am. Hey, I'm doing fantastic, and I got a new phrase for everybody. Recatechism. What I mean by that, you heard me speak before, I think the men need to step up. We cannot complain about what our children are taught if we don't know what they should be taught. You cannot say that what the priest is saying up on the pulpit if you don't know your faith. We're supposed to know our faith. We're supposed to be the men that are in our faith. And for those of you who say I'm out there doing the good fight and everything like that, Christ said in Matthew 7:21 through 27 that everybody that says, oh, yeah, I hear you, and I did this, and I cast out demons and everything like that. Well, guess what? I don't know you. You got to do what I say. We need to pick up our cross and carry them. And we need to relearn what we were never taught. We need to go back to the catechism that our grandparents listened to when the number one show in the land was a Catholic bishop for over a decade. He beat out the evening news and all the comedians and all the variety shows. And you know what? There was no abortion. The thought of abortion didn't even exist in this country. There might have been some backstreet ones, but for the majority of the population, it wasn't a matter of it should be illegal or not. It just didn't exist. But no, yeah, the meteor strike came in 1969, and they started converting everything, and it all became about us instead of me, instead of my battle with Christ, my battle with the devil, my battle trying to get into heaven. And the men need to learn what was not taught to them. Real catechism hasn't happened in this country for over 50 years. It's time for us to step up. And when you do, understand that the infiltration of the church has already begun, because even in the Baltimore Catechism, they didn't even use the Dewey Rain Bible, which was the Catholic Bible up until the meteor strike. They used a Bible that was intermediate between the Dewey Rains and the New American. It was the Catholic confiteory text. So when you do read the Catechism, make sure you do it with a proper Bible. Anyway, that's my little song and dance. New phrase, recatechize, men do your part. Let's take back our church.
Hey,
yeah.
Doc.
Yeah.
You mentioned Bishop Fulton Sheen. He received an Emmy for as being the best new personality on television. He received an Emmy. He beat out people like Lucille Ball and a few others.
But when he went up to accept his Emmy, you know what he said? He said, "I'd like to thank my four writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John."
And you know the amazing thing about that? It didn't matter what religion you were. You could be atheist, Protestant, Jewish, Christian. It didn't matter. At 7 o'clock, your butt was in front of the Fulton Sheen show because he taught righteous masculinity. He taught proper catechism. And we can't have righteous masculinity in the church until we have proper catechesis. Men, do your part. Get a Boston Catechism and read it. Put a Bible in front of yourself. Take 30 minutes a night. You'd be amazed what it'll do for your family, your church, your society.
Do you mean
Y'all have a blessed day. Huh?
Do you mean Baltimore Catechism? Because you said Boston.
Yes, sir. I mean the Baltimore Catechism. I'm sorry. The Baltimore Catechism.
Well,
go back to the catechism that your grandparents read. That's what I'm saying. See what was not taught to us after the meteor strike. See what they took from you. You've been robbed. Find out what they took. That's all I'm saying. Anyway,
I've got the Michael Durant of Black Hawk Down. He wrote in my catechism, "To Sergeant First Class Donald T. Hartley, the Catholic Defender, best wishes. Night Stalkers don't quit." And so that's something
that
we should have. Here at Deeper Truth, man, Deeper Truth does not quit.
Well, here's a little excerpt from the Baltimore Catechism. It involves the creed, and it's very important with all this talk of ecumenicalism. The Apostles' Creed underwent modifications not by the introduction of new doctrine, but by the expression of the traditions believed in the terms that left no room for error or misunderstanding. We hold truth to our traditions, but how do we know what they are if we were never taught them? Catechize yourselves, America. It's time for a re-catechism. Let's learn what we need to know to defend our faith and be the army of God.
I'm all for that, but also I would encourage people to really get into Deeper Truth, because we've got over 6,000 articles that are based from our catechism and Catholic teaching. We've also, John, we got Joseph from Colorado who just popped in. How you doing there, Joseph?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm
a little worn out, actually hurting, and but surviving. I met a couple in February who I talked into having their baby, and then I went on to talk them into getting married, and told them, and it came true yesterday, that I cooked for their wedding, only 35 people, but I made a bunch of food, meatballs and sausages and baked ziti and a rice dish and a ham and barbecued chicken and roasted vegetables. So I'm a little worn out, but that's a blessing. It's a major blessing.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Another baby saved. Thanks to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And a marriage.
Yeah, very, very successful week, too, last week. And though the haters are upping that game, it seems, and hear some pretty nasty stuff, and that's okay. It's a little tough when they use my disability against me. Not that my disability has necessarily ever been for me, but it's led to this pro-life, pro-God life I live. Is trying to make a difference.
You are, definitely. What's your account now?
1,080.
1,080. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm just so thankful for all your hard work, and I wish the churches around you would support you better and stand with you and give you supplies and help you out. You're doing this all alone. And there should be some good churches around there, good Catholic churches that should be stepping it up for you. But you know,
I would, the police would be a supportive of him as well. And also, we just got Kathy that popped on. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Don. Hi, John. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Well, the gang's all here. That's great. Well, tonight, folks, we go to the Philippines, and it's a place which I always laugh when I hear the name, Agoo, A-G-O-O, Agoo, Philippines. Now, the Philippines wouldn't be laughing because they named it, but it's just a strange sounding title for a city, but Agoo, Philippines. And the years are 1989. To 1993, very similar to our Cuenca, Ecuador years, where it was about the same, about 1988 to 92 or something like that. So it's very close in the same time frame as Cuenca, Ecuador, where we were the last few weeks. And the visionary, his name is Judiel Nieva, and he reportedly started receiving private apparitions of Our Lady in 1987 when he was only 10 years old and in the sixth grade. These initial visions took place in the privacy of his own home. He was the seventh child of eight born to very poor parents who worked two stalls at the local market. Everyone in Agoo knew Judiel because he was reputed to have special powers. Even at his age of 10, he was actually sought out as a healer. He had reported psychic abilities, like being able to detect a non-believer even from a great distance. The name Judiel means bearer of God's mercy. That's bearer of God's mercy for the name Judiel. That's J-U-D-I-E-L. Maybe it's Judiel. He prayed frequently and wrote down on paper the messages from Our Lady each time she gave him some. Investigators noted that these hastily written notes were carefully worded with near-perfect grammar, seemingly beyond that of his age. So we're really starting out with kind of a child prodigy here. He has all sorts of abilities with healing and they call it psychic abilities, but we just say he's able to perceive things like Padre Pio could read souls and that kind of stuff. And he seems to have similar talents there at a very young age. Well, later, our Blessed Mother instructed the visionary to go with some of his friends up to the small spring of water in the hills above Agoo, the site of San Antonio. This is where the first public apparition took place on March 31st, 1989. It's interesting that he wants or she wants them to meet at the small spring of water. We know what that's probably going to lead to. So first at this apparition, there was a bright flash of light, very similar to Fatima and Garibaldi and some others. A very bright flash of light preceded things. That also happened in Medjugorje. Then he heard voices and the sounds of trumpets while angels descended from heaven toward him singing Alleluia and Salve Regina. The angels formed an inverted V with three angels on either side and Saint Michael at the apex with a white dove above his head. Family appeared on a cloud, Saint Joseph with a shepherd's staff, and Our Lady was sitting on a rock holding baby Jesus on her lap. The angels identified themselves, each representing a day of the week. See what you think of this. For Sunday, Saint Michael, holding a weighing scale and a sword. Saint Gabriel, for Monday, holding a plum and a book. St. Raphael, for Tuesday, holding a fish and a sword. St. Saint Uriel for Wednesday, holding a weighing scale. Saint Setiel, it's S-E-T-I-E-L, for Thursday, holding an incensor. Saint Judiel for Friday, holding a music book and a bouquet of flowers. And Saint Barachiel on Saturday, holding a small child. I'm going to stop right there for a second because that's very interesting information. I want to get some reactions to all that. And I'll repeat anything if you need it repeated.
I got one of the things, the latest things that I have on him is that he goes around the country. He prays for you and your family. According to a friend of his, he says that it's his mission. He is back to being simple. And in 1993, May reported an estimated 1 million people gathered in this small town of Agu is north of Madrid. It's up there on the north at the north part of the largest part of the island of the Philippines, and it's up there on the China South China Sea up there. It's right up there on the coastline to kind of get an idea where it's located at. And one thing I thought was interesting here, Bishop Salvador Lazo, the province's Catholic bishop, also experienced this phenomenon and witnessed some of this. And so he gathered evidence and testimonies and with the intent to report to the Vatican on the event. So I just thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. We'll get to the details of what he saw and what went on there. Back to these angels per different days of the week. Any thoughts or comments about the imagery?
I think for Thursday.
Go ahead.
For Thursday, that it was the incense, wasn't it?
Uh huh.
And when our priest does benediction for the Holy Eucharist for the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, they do incense. And then wasn't there scales on Wednesday and Monday?
Yeah, or Sunday and Wednesday.
Sunday and Wednesday.
St. Michael and St. Uriel.
It's so neat that there's these other, archangels.
Mm-hmm.
The only
yeah.
ones you hear about are the four, St. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more.
And I thought, and Raphael, I thought it was interesting, but I think when you're talking about incense, you go to Revelation chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand, and seven is going to be important in this story too, and seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to mingle with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke and the incense rose with the prayers of the saints from the hand of the angel before God. Wow.
Yeah,
that's what they're saying, the seven angels of Revelation.
Yes.
That's what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm pointing to.
And they heard trumpets.
And they all represent.
They heard trumpets first, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
That's why that's exactly what I was alluding to. And good job there. Good catch there, Kathy.
Yep. Very good. Well, then our Blessed Mother stood up over a guava tree on a rise high overlooking the spring of water, and she spoke. Her Immaculate Heart was visible on her chest, and light radiated outward towards the spring of water, which the infant Jesus then waded in. Well, that's holy water for sure. Mary promised to visit Judiel every first Saturday and on her feast days. She She asked for other people to return also. That's very interesting there. Over 50 apparitions occurred between March 31st, 1989 and September 8th, 1993. As each apparition day approached, he would begin a period of fasting and meditation. During this time, he would not speak to anyone or appear in public. He preferred privacy, but when in public, male friends would act as bodyguards. Just before the Virgin Mary would appear, her presence could be detected through the extraordinary fragrance of roses. Hey, how about that? People would kiss the ground when they perceived this, and then a flash of light usually preceded her appearance. See, all this stuff is so classic with Mary's appearances. Mary was, quote, a heavenly beauty to behold, unquote. I said that last week, almost the first words anyone says is, beautiful lady, beautiful woman, and here, a heavenly beauty to behold. Once again,
John,
she wore a long.
It's interesting.
Go ahead.
It's interesting that you mentioned about the guava tree, G-U-A-V-A tree, serves as an altar to Our Lady of Sorrows, helps participants share her pain and grief, and reminds them that she is considered the greatest of all martyrs. She gladly experienced this lifetime of sorrow so believers could receive her son's ultimate gift, the grace of redemption. And I'm talking about the seven roses that was revealed here, reveals a divine favor in some. Seven is also regarded as the perfect number of Christ. And I know you're getting ready to mention about the six-pointed star that's on the Virgin Mary's forehead here. The six-pointed star is one of the oldest Christian symbols for God. For Christians, it's called the Creator's Star. It represents the fact that all the persons of the Trinity, which today is the Feast of the Holy Trinity, were all present at creation. The Blessed Virgin Mary has a unique relationship with the Trinity, daughter of the Father, mother of the Son, and spouse of the Holy Spirit. And there's another point there, and I know you're going to get to it also, John, about this Celtic knot that is a part of what she has on her, is that with no beginning and no end. It represents unity and eternal spiritual life. The symbols interweaves through the circle in an unbroken flow. And you were getting ready about the white tunic. The white represents purity or innocence. So that's all that in a nutshell. But so go ahead and tell everybody what does she look like according to the vision.
Okay. And she wore a long white dress with a long mantle which touched the cloud upon which she stood. Only her toes could be seen. At the hem of her dress was a shining star with a brighter star on her forehead. On her head was a beautiful crown, and above the crown was a halo of 12 stars, just like Revelation, crown of 12 stars.
Yeah.
Her eyes were bluish brown. Her immaculate heart was exposed. She usually carried a rosary and sometimes a scapular. At times, Mary would be weeping. Sometimes tears of blood flowed profusely from her eyes. Her messages were simple and focused on praying the rosary, penance, conversion, and consecration to her Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. She also stressed humility and sacrifice. Judeal received secrets which have not been revealed, and that's not unusual. Judeal was also shown visions of heaven, hell, and purgatory. Now, again, all of this follows so closely to what other visionaries have experienced. So, it's just, you know, the same kind of presentation, the same kind of focus, the same kind of requests, same kind of appearance, and the giving of secrets, the stress on humility and sacrifice, penance, rosary, conversion, all of that, very, very similar. Now, large crowds were present during each apparition. Tens of thousands of people converged on this small community, causing traffic jams for scores of miles. Those present were often treated to spectacular signs and visions in the sky, as well as, quote, the miracle of the spinning sun. The aroma of roses and a mysterious blue light whenever Mary would appear to Judea. So it's interesting. What they're saying here is that other people could see this blue light when Mary was appearing to Judea. They couldn't see her, but they could see a blue light where she was. And that's pretty supernatural in itself. Now, the miracle of the dancing sun was witnessed by many thousands of people on several occasions. First, the sun would change from its usual radiant glare to a softer glow covered by a disk. Then different colors would radiate out from the sun, spinning these rays of predominantly blue, green, red, and yellow colors onto the crowds as colored disks. These colors would remain on the disc-shaped objects for a few seconds after the disc was touched. Images of angels, the Holy Family, Jesus, and Mary with Joseph would appear from the pulsating, spinning sun. So I'll stop there just for a second, but boy, that is just exactly the same description as Fatima, where the sun became paler, appeared like a glowing disc, and would shoot out rays of different colors. It would illuminate the people so much, exactly like the Fatima descriptions. Any reactions?
Well, this is very biblical, John. You go to Daniel chapter 10, beginning with verse 15. When the angel spoke to him, according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and was dumb. And behold, one in the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retained no strength. And when you're talking about these old, like in the situation, only Daniel saw the vision. Not everybody, other people felt the vision, but only Daniel saw the vision. So what you're saying here, maybe other people might have saw other signs, but they may not have saw specifically Mary in this situation, because that is afforded to those who our Lord and our Lady is appearing to. But that is biblical,
right?
And that happened in the biblical, in the Bible,
very,
over and over.
Very good point. Good point. Good point. Mm. Well, on March 31st, 1992, Our Lady presented the, quote, seven keys to heaven and begged Judea to pray the 15 mysteries of the rosary daily while traveling so that he would be protected from all dangers of body and soul. And she requested seven things. These are the seven keys to heaven. Number one, attend daily Mass. Number two, visit the Blessed Sacrament often. Number three, wear the brown scapular. Number four, pray the 15 mysteries of the Holy Rosary with the litany and Hail, Holy Queen. Number five, do the way of the cross. Number six, go to confession regularly. And the seventh key is make communion of reparation on first Fridays and first Saturdays. Isn't that an interesting seven grouping? Any reactions?
Wow. Let me try to hold tight there. Let me see. Do you have any thought about any of this, Mike?
I'm number four here. It says pray the 15 mysteries of the Holy Rosary. Well, there are more than 15 mysteries since God knows the future. Why aren't the luminous mysteries included in that list?
Because they didn't come till about 10 years later.
Mm. Well, Mary would have known they were coming and known which one they are.
Yeah. At that time, people only knew about 15. She's not going to go there.
Okay.
She can predict something, but I think she was waiting on that one. She probably knew in the future.
Yeah, she had.
Going, but...
She had. Do you have any thought on this, Doc?
Actually, I do. First off, I want to go back to the scales in the initial vision. You said they were Wednesday and Sunday. What does that represent? What is the official representation of the scales? And then I want to talk about, well, first off, there are only 15 decades of the rosary. The luminous, I think, were, I don't know. I prayed them for a while, but they don't feel right. I do the 15 decades, and that's what was given to us. Why would the rosary was given to us by Mary. Why would she make an addendum?
The scales represents one day we're going to have to stand before Jesus to meet his justice. And so the scales of justice.
That's what I thought. I think that alludes to what I've been saying. We are, every one of us right now that here is hearing my voice, and everyone that you know is under constant attack by demons and evil spirits that prowl the earth seeking the ruin of souls. Guard against it. Guard your soul. The true meaning of the word meek does not mean what the popular world thinks it does. Look up the Greek word meek, and what it means is stand at the ready with your seat, with your sword sheath, ready to go to battle. That's what that means. And we need to be the meek that inherit the earth. Fulton Sheen said, we're the ones that's going to fix it. So that when I heard the scales, my attention was immediately to that, and I think that's Mary trying to tell us. There's a reckoning coming. We need to be ready.
Yep. Absolutely.
I've heard meekness described as power under control.
Exactly.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
I don't know the gentleman's name, but he actually did a video. You can look it up. He used the Greek interpretation of the word. It's very informative. It's eye-opening. I really wish I could remember his name, but I'm horrible with names. I apologize. But that's where I got the information from. And when I heard that, it changed my entire perspective on a lot of things. We hear about the spiritual warfare, zero. We don't hear about it on the pulpit. We don't talk about it. It's not polite conversation for some reason. And for the only thing that evil needs to succeed is good men do nothing. So we need to do something.
Yeah, I agree.
What were you
going to
say,
Kathy?
Kathy,
what would you had a thought?
Yeah, I just said,
Kathy?
I'm with Doc. We just, it's time to, we have to stand up for what's right. We have to take the next right step. We have to say what's right. We have to do what's right, and we have to not back down.
All right, amen. Amen. All right. So on April 4th, 1992, Mary said that the year 1995 would be the year of sorrows. Many babies and little children will die from an unknown disease. 1995. These deaths would not be a punishment, but an act of mercy to spare them from the coming chastisement, which would be too horrible. That's interesting. 1995, that reminds me of two things, Ebola and AIDS. I think were both real big around that time. The Ebola was horrible, sweeping through Africa. And then AIDS was also taking off big time, too, then. But I don't know, maybe someone else might think of something later. May 23rd, 1992, Mary says, quote, "If you don't help me, the wrath of God shall fall upon mankind. I can hardly hold the hand of my son back. If you don't repent, it will happen very soon. It may happen within 2 years." Well, that was 92. Interesting, in 94 was the Rwandan genocide 2 years later. That's interesting. June 11th, 1992, Mary says, "If the world does not change, I will send the warning. The earth will shake. The sun will spin with a big explosion, and the moon will appear in the morning and the sun at night. This miraculous phenomenon will be visible all over the earth, and all of this will happen within half an hour. Big storms, floods, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, and changing weather conditions are already on their way," unquote. Well, she's got that right.
Natural disasters. Natural disasters.
My gosh. You notice how many natural disasters on the news are always the worst on record? You hear the worst flood on record, the worst hurricane on record, the worst fires on record. It's always breaking records, and that should be noteworthy.
And, Joseph, do you have any thought about, would you think abortion is a disease that has taken away so many babies? I know you would agree with that, too.
Almost definitely. Yes, I mean, the horror of abortion is has also led to so many other factors of disrespecting life, and that's a real problem, and the whole assault on family, period, and you know, so yeah, it all ties in together, you know, unbelievably, and you know, not a good way, obviously. It's all horrible. Mary, Jesus, God, the tears that they have to be shedding over all that, you know the times right now. I mean, all of it is just an assault on family. Is a huge thing. You know, look at all this pride crap every day. You know, it's all you hear now, like, if this is the month of pride, you know, and I posted something on Facebook earlier, and you know, pro-life and pro-God comment, and that's my pride, you know, what they're doing is an assault on religious liberty, on the Bible, on God, and they're making us look like we're the bad guys. They're trying to make us look like we're the bad guys, you know, that we're doing wrong, that we're not accepting them, you know, we're not loving them, and then there's this stupid, retarded priest, what's his name, who's gay in his own right. He's actually going to be on Sundance. I saw a commercial earlier, and I about threw up because the amount of people that are being misled in all of this, you know, and you know, people think you know Catholics for abortion, Catholics for choice, you know. I mean, there's so much harm being done to the world. And, you know, and I question God all the time. Why does he allow another day? And I do believe the answer is another day to get it right. But I don't see it. I don't see, you know, the multitudes getting it right. I think I see a lot more getting it wrong. And it really worries me.
We're in the final battle. I think that's what it is. And I think that's why we must stay strong, just like Doc and Mike and Kathy have been really echoing that very important point, that we need to get back into the catechism and to write catechesis, because we got to be leaders in this time. John, we just got a short period of time. Do you have any more thoughts before we go on this, on the story?
Oh, yeah, we'll be here next week to wrap it up, but I'll read a couple quick messages Mary had here. On July 4th, 1992, she said, and I love this, quote, "Pray the Holy Rosary. Satan will be defeated because he hates hearing the name of my son and my name. Teach your children how to pray the Holy Rosary," unquote. You know, and if you think of how many times the name Jesus and Mary are said during the rosary, I actually was told from another apparition, Mary said it's like a thump on the head of Satan every time he hears her name and her son's name. That made me really want to say the rosary and say Jesus and Mary as many times as I could. I was just thinking, thump, 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 thump.
you know, so, John, also the greatest Vatican exorcist of all time, the most important in the 1970s, Father Amorth, he had a literally where he was speaking with a demon trying to get out, and the demon actually said that very point, that every Hail Mary, if people understood how much the hell we would defeat the devil in all his motives if we understood that, then that's what was brought out in this exorcism by Father Amorth. And I what you just said is backs that up 100%.
And to tag right along with that, I heard of another exorcist who during an exorcism asked the devil what he hated the most, and he said the rosary. He hates hearing it. So there's another affirmation of the same thought you had. Wow. All right. And August 1st, 1992, an angel appeared and gave Judeel Holy Communion from a host and a chalice suspended in mid-air, just like the kids at Fatima the year before Mary, when the angel of peace, the angel of Portugal, appeared and gave the children a host while a chalice was suspended in mid-air. And for people who aren't familiar with an angel doing this, Mary was asked about this in another apparition, and she says, oh, of course, the priests are the ones that consecrate it, but the angels are always borrowing it from nearby churches. They don't have any problem getting what they need, and they borrow a consecrated host from a nearby church to do this. They do not consecrate it themselves. So just to clear up any possible misunderstanding there. But here's another example of an angel doing this. And if you remember in Garibandi, St. Michael gave Conchita a host, and the whole crowd was crowded around late at night watching and watching and watching because they were told that this was going to happen. And they were pressed all around her, just inches away from her face, and she stuck out her tongue, and out of thin air, the host appeared on her tongue, and luckily they had a short movie clip which caught it and photographed it appearing on her tongue. A miracle in the making, and an angel was the one, St. Michael in that case, giving the host to the visionary. So here we are again, another angel giving a host to a visionary. So it's not unusual and certainly very interesting. Also on September 5th, 1992, many people again witnessed the miracle of the sun. You know, I've noticed since Fatima, not before Fatima, but since Fatima, I've counted at least 20 different countries that had a series of spinning sun miracles. At least 20 different countries after Fatima. And here is another one. So, you know, just shows you that that is not a one-time thing in Fatima at all. And I've talked to people who've witnessed it. I have talked to people, probably at least five or six different people who witnessed it somewhere in the world in modern times. So that's it's something that you don't forget if you go through it. Now, Donald, when you were in Medjugorje, did you talk to anyone who had seen that happen there?
I did not, because I was active and out and about. I saw rosaries transformed from silver to gold. I did see and witness that, and I was very active. I didn't see. I mean, we videoed some things of the sun, and we were trying, you know. But you know, there's. I mean, well, I had a gentleman that tapped me on the shoulder and said, "I see the face of Christ." I looked up and I didn't see that, but I had a friend and who had a camera and took a picture of it, and you could see the face of Christ in the picture. That is fantastic.
Yeah. So I'll stop at this point in the story, and next week we're going to start off with a Eucharistic miracle that happened there, and more stuff, and a huge appearance, and all sorts of other factors, and then we'll lead up to our discussion about the visionary next week as well. Nothing earth-shattering, but just, you know, there might be confusion about some of the details, and we just want to make it clear and proper in this presentation. So, Donald, anything else you want to cover before we start to close up?
Well, I think that it is very important for us. First John chapter 4, verse 1, it says that if anyone approaches you with the supernatural, we are to test the spirit. And so what is the gauge that we have that test? And that is an apostolic tradition. It's an apostolic witness, that authority, the Catholic Church. That is what it is. And that's why on this show, when we're talking about these, it is important for us that we follow the bishop and the Catholic Church in its acceptance of these things. And so we are simply reporting on the events. And if it's still under investigation, first of all, I want to say something very important here, because there have been confusion over this. If it is yet to be accepted, that does not mean it's been condemned. On the contrary, that doesn't mean that at all. It's still under investigation or waiting for evidence, more evidence. And that's what we have to say it as.
In my research of all the 100 apparitions I'd studied, the average length of time for approval, and I'm saying average length of time, is 53 years. So 1992-93 has not been 53 years yet. It's not even up to the average length of time for approval. So neither was Medjugorje, for that matter. Not even up to the average length of time. So if people think it takes too long, they just have to look at history and realize it's always taken usually a long time. Even Fatima took almost 20 years to be approved, if you can believe that. So so any last comments by anybody? Any last thoughts? Next week we'll continue and finish up this one.
Do you have any last thought there, Kathy?
Yeah, so the Julial, he got secrets that he's never told.
Yes.
How many times have we heard that? Do we ever get the secrets?
I know that, I think, I know with Medjugorje they had some, with Garibaldo they had some that were never told. I mean, I hear it more often than you might think. Even Cuenca, Ecuador, I think she had a couple that she was not supposed to tell anyone, and she did reveal one to the Pope last week. But sometimes they're just for them, like it's personal, maybe just for them, and I think that's part of it. If it's meant for us, it will be told.
And shown. Mike, do you have a last point?
Yeah, I was wondering, John, in your study of these apparitions over the years, do you only look at ones that come from a Catholic source? The reason I ask that question is I stumbled on a rap singer who claims to have seen a vision of Jesus. And this has profoundly changed her life. It's being reported in the Christian Post. That's the source of the information. The rap singer's name is M.I.A. And I wonder if the Catholic Church does take a look at some of these and from outside sources and checks them out for validity.
Well, we've had Mary appear to atheists and Muslims and communists and, you know, and people that could care less about church. So it wouldn't surprise me. But most of the ones I've looked at are the ones that are documented well and detailed well. And mm-hmm. usually the Catholic Church is involved in those. I'm open to anything, but just seems to keep coming back to Catholic investigations, mm-hmm. and Catholics are very good about documenting stuff. I don't know of any Methodists. I grew up Methodist, and I don't know of any Methodists that documented anything. I mean,
Doc, you have
We didn't have.
Yeah, I do. I want to just say, I think was it Joe? Am I getting the name right? The man that goes
Joseph.
I want you to take heart because you may not see it, but there are more people waking up and more people coming together, and we're realizing that the only way we can fix this is if we unite as a people. And that's starting to happen. So, yeah, it's coming. The battle's not over till it's over, and we're going to take heavy losses during this one because they got a leg up on us. But there's more of us than they know, and as it says, as St. Augustine said, the heart of man is made for thee, O God, and it is restless until it rests in thee. So take heart. We're going to win this. Amen.
Amen to that. And Joseph, do you have any last thought on that?
Obviously, all is possible with God and what he has seen me to and through is amazing, and keeps on blessing me beyond compare, I can question that on its own right. why is he using an idiot like me? Because I'm willing, and that goes back to my problem. Why isn't there 100 Christians? I'm not even saying Catholics. Why isn't there 100 Christians at every friggin' abortion clinic every friggin' hour? And it pisses me off that there's not, and that I am there alone. And I got some people here attempting to be there every hour I'm there now, because a lot of people are getting concerned with some of these things I go through, and then he put pressure on me. It's like, I'm not going to alter anything I do for someone else, except for God, but, going back to this vision, I'm just amazed that what was seen initially, Holy Family and the archangels, the angels, and then the amount of people that are seeing this, and then it's still not known about, and I think us, here we are, the Catholic defenders, I think we need to get a plan of sorts to share this in another way. Why aren't priests talking about this? And how do we get that to happen? Do we have to go to bishops first? Why isn't all this occurring? Why don't more people know about it? It's all very disturbing, actually, to me.
Now that's why I wrote the books.
Get
all this out there. All this information
and
out
doing
there,
these radio
and it has
shows
made
too.
A difference.
And doing these radio shows. because these podcasts are going all over the world. Anybody that has got the internet has access to this.
Yeah,
yeah, but
we've been
hit with
120 nations.
Well, years ago you used to talk about that. Who's checking in today? I mean, are you still keeping track of that?
To the best I can. Unfortunately, I've been hit by Facebook and Twitter because, you know, my support of President Trump, I got hit by a lot of that that was going on back in after the 2020 election. I was definitely hit by Twitter and Twitter. So, but I still am able to go there, but it's a monumental task. But I know that we are ticking up on our shows, radio shows, as well as our articles. We are ticking up, and I want to thank everybody out there for listening in and for reading and keeping us and praying for us. That is so important. And I want to thank everybody here and everybody listening tonight, and many will be listening because a lot of people will listen to us on the archive. And I encourage everybody here to take the show and to support it and promote it and to give it to your friends, because it only takes a spark to get a fire going. That's always true.
Yeah. All right. So you can, I guess, mute everyone, and I'll do the worldwide Hail Mary, and we'll close out. I always do this, so all these countries out there, which I did write them all down as we tracked them. I wrote all 130 down, so I've got a record of who all was listening in. And so that's why, since it was so consistent that we would hear from so many different places consistently, that's why we do this worldwide Hail Mary.
Amy from Peru, for example.
She's with us for years. She may still be there. And we're her island of Malta and some out in the South Pacific. Didn't even know where that was. I mean, names I'd never even heard before, but we tracked quite a few interesting places. Anyway, we do this because we want all those voices around the world to be in unison at no matter what time of the day or night or whatever it is, wherever you are, that all these voices will rise together in unison toward heaven saying this Hail Mary. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. We hope this has been helpful, educational, interesting, and stimulating. And like Doc said, let's get tough. We've got to band together and get tough. Absolutely. And that's what we're doing with this show. We're trying to bring good information to more people. My dream was to see how many people I could educate with this information that I had researched. I had no idea I would ever be broadcasting to the whole world. So that's truly Holy Spirit at work. So, and Donald too. So appreciate it.
And I'm going to thank you too, John, and everybody here. I'm going to end this with a song in honor for Kathy, who's a great singer in her own right, and she plays guitar, and also Doc, because of both of them talking about standing up, and also for Joseph, who does stand up, and Mike stands up. Everybody here stands up. So I'm going to play this song in honor of them for talking about standing up. So you ready to go there, John?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. We'll see you tomorrow night. We got another show with Dr. Gregory Thompson, Eucharistic Miracles. That should be a good one, a very good one as always. So that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow night, same bat time, same bat station. So in the process, we're going to stand up. Stand up. One, two, three.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Well, Johnny Cash came out with I Walked the Line in 1956, and I was born in 1956. And thanks to my mother and our holy Catholic faith, I've been walking his line all my life. And so, everybody, come back tomorrow night, same bat time, same bat station, with Dr. Gregory Thompson and Eucharistic Miracles. And those are just, I mean, these are all excellent. God bless you all. And like Doc and Kathy were talking about, and everybody here, is that we need to stand up, just like that song was saying, stand up. Good night, everybody.